Good morning, I'm Jana. I'm the associate pastor here at Church of the Incarnation, and I want to welcome you, especially if you're joining us for the first time. We're delighted to have you with us this morning. My sister is a speech pathologist, and she works mostly with patients who have had traumatic brain injuries. And when she goes in to assess a person who has experienced a traumatic brain injury, she doesn't start with assessing their speech. She is trained, actually, to start with orientation. Do you know where you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know why you're here? And the question that she's initially trying to assess is, can this person locate themselves at this specific place and point in time? There's something very fundamental about orientation, about knowing where and who you are and why you are there, and that you can't actually attend to speech without first attending to orientation. Knowing where you are and who you are comes first. One comes before the other. And Jesus also starts with orientation. Before attending to bearing fruit or what might come out of you, Jesus attends to reality. Are you aware of what is real? Do you know who you are and where you are and why you are here? You may have noticed since last week, our gospel readings have shifted from these post-resurrection encounters with Jesus to these profound statements that Jesus makes about himself to his followers. And we heard last week, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And today we hear another one of these self-identifying statements from Jesus. "I am the true vine." And our text this morning begins with Jesus speaking to his disciples. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." And this statement is an orientation statement. It's a foundational statement, and it's so foundational that we actually cannot move on through the text without getting this one straight. This statement tells us where we are and what is most fundamentally real. So before we can move through this text in this one line, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener," Jesus offers robust clarity about reality for those who would want to follow him. And Jesus identifies himself as the true vine, not just the vine, but the true vine. And you can also understand this word that's translated as true to be the real vine or the authentic vine. Jesus is the legit vine, in the words of MC Hammer, the legit vine. And this statement tells us that there is a true vine. There is a real vine. And that is to say that there is a true source of life and of growth. And if there is a true vine, then there are also rival vines. Vines that can be mistaken for the real vine. Counterfeit vines. And so the subtext of this first line from our gospel reading today confronts something very ubiquitous in our culture. And it's this: our culture wants us to believe that we are the vine, that I am the vine and that you are the vine and that I am the source of my own life and growth and that somehow within me is all that I need for life and growth. And if I could just get in touch with my inner truth, then that is the key to life and fulfillment. And I want to name for us this morning that that worldview is a rival vine, a counterfeit vine to the declaration that we hear from Jesus today, that according to Jesus, you are not the vine, and I am not the vine that Jesus, in his own words, is claiming to be the true vine. And this is the most basic reality for Christians, that Jesus is the source of life and growth. And we have to be clear on this before we can be clear on anything else, and certainly before we can understand anything about pruning or removing or bearing fruit. Looking for life inside of ourselves is not the only rival vine. Some of us are looking for life and growth in another person, and a significant other, in our kids or in our friends. And some of us are looking for life in pleasure or work or possessions or substances or approval. There are lots and lots of rival vines. And Jesus is calling out to us this morning and declaring something that is true. I am the true vine. I am the source of life. And then Jesus goes on to say, and my Father is the vine grower, or some translations say, the gardener. And just in this first statement, we are being invited into a very specific worldview. A scandalous worldview, actually. And getting this worldview right is important because the rest of the text is dependent upon it. My Father is the gardener. And we are brought back into the creation narrative that God is the creator, and that we are creatures who are invited to delight in a world that we did not make, a world that we do not control, a world that we do not superintend. And then the text also locates us. The text tells us that we are the branches. You will not see that on a t-shirt. I am a branch. You will not find a t-shirt that says that. We are derivative. Not from other branches, we aren't derivative from other people, but we are derivative from the vine. And this worldview requires humility to submit ourselves to the Christian worldview, to the Christian story, is to submit ourselves to the reality that we are derivative beings, that we are not self-made. We are not created by us or for us, nor are we created by someone else or for someone else. We are created by God and for God. And this is reality in the story. And then our text circles back this morning at the very end and says, my Father is glorified in this. What all of this is about glorifying the Father, that all of creation was intended, that its telos, its whole purpose was to glorify God. Now, since the beginning, humans have balked against this reality and resisted it. We really want to be self-determining. And the fall narrative demonstrates this for us so clearly. The fall narrative is predicated on pride. We are not satisfied to be made in God's image. We want to be God. We want to determine from within ourselves what is good and right and true. And our text here this morning at the outset invites us to humility, to our rightful place in the cosmos, creatures who have been created by God and for God. And it is from this place of humility that we can hear the rest of the text. And Jesus goes on to say that he, the gardener, removes every branches in the vine that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to bear more fruit. The gardener, in his infinite wisdom, attends to the vine. And the action in this text is by the gardener, the one who is both pruning and removing. None of the branches are left alone, static, self-determining. They are all being attended to by the gardener. Now, I'm not a gardener. I like to buy plants, and that's usually where my job ends. But I have seen plants pruned on the back end, and every time I see a plant pruned, to my untrained eye, I think, that was too much. Like, they went too far on that one. But those who are skilled at pruning know exactly how much to cut off and what branches to remove so that the plant will bear fruit. And the key to bearing fruit is actually dependent on the pruning of the gardener, which is at the discretion and skill and wisdom of the gardener. And I want to clarify here that this text is not saying that every painful and bad thing that happens in life is intentional pruning by the Father. This is not the scope of this text. But it is saying that there will be pruning and that we can trust the pruning of the gardener. And we can do so because God is love in his very being. And we know that he is love because his Son became one of us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And our faith actually centers on the incarnation. The incarnation is what makes possible a world which creatures like us can trust the gardener. And we heard this in our 1 John reading, that God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And so now we come to the invitation from Jesus this morning. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in me as I abide in you. And so the key to bearing fruit is not just dependent on the pruning from the gardener. It is also dependent on being attached and abiding in the true vine. And so we might just ask ourselves this morning, what does it look like for us to abide in Jesus? Like, if you walked through your day from the moment that you woke up to the moment that you went to bed, what would it look like for you to abide in Jesus? And what's implicated in this imagery of the vine and the branches is that the branches are receptive to the life that comes from the vine. That there's something about abiding in Jesus that's not just static or passive. There's like an openness, a receptivity to the life of the vine. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. Stay open to Jesus. Stay receptive to the true vine. Stay open to his life-giving presence. Stay tender-hearted towards Jesus. Don't let pain or grief or unforgiveness or resentment, don't let unbelief or indifference harden your heart towards Jesus. Stay connected to the vine. Stay open to receiving life from the vine. And this receptivity to the vine is not just at the beginning of following Jesus. It actually characterizes the whole life of a disciple of Jesus from beginning to end. The Christian life is an ongoing, over and over and over again, openness to receiving life from the vine. And Jesus himself demonstrates this kind of openness in his earthly life and ministry. He says things like, I only do what I see my Father doing. And we see Jesus frequently getting away to be alone with the Father. Prayer is actually a central way that we stay connected to the vine. You will be hard-pressed to find someone whose life that is steeped in prayer, disconnected from the vine. I want to note for us this morning, quite strikingly, that there is no exhortation in this text to bear fruit. The exhortation is to remain attached to the vine. It's interesting. The call is to abide in him. And in this picture, the fruit that is produced is not an action of the branch, but a result of the vine. It's a cause and effect. And the branches that are removed because they're no longer open to receiving the life of the vine, and as such, they cannot bear fruit. So there is an ordering to the Christian life, a call to first abide in Jesus, and from that abiding fruit is produced. We live in a very activist society, which is wonderful, that so many people now care about our world being rightly ordered. But as Christians, our activism has a source. And the source is connectedness to the vine. And the fruit that emerges from the vine. And this is very important because this is where things go sideways. We end up burnt out. Or we end up thinking that we're the ones that superintend the world. Or we end up judgmental because other people aren't doing their part. I'm speaking from experience on this one. The bearing of fruit is very important. It's so important that the gardener is even willing to prune the branches that bear the most fruit so that they will bear more fruit. The gardener loves a good bottle of wine. But the branches are not the source of life. They must remain attached to the vine. And at the end, again, this summative statement, and my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The bearing of fruit is important. But it is not about the branch. It is about the gardener. It is not from the branch. It is from being connected to the life of the vine. So may we become a people who abide in the true vine. And may abundant fruit be produced in our lives and in this church. And most of all, may the Father be glorified and honored and worshiped in us. and among us. Amen.